Welcome everyone. As is custom, I need to announce that this meeting is being recorded per the governor's orders. And I would ask that if someone has a comment or a question, please identify yourself prior to asking. And also, I need to inform everyone that a transcript of the meeting will be available and put up on our website, I believe, within 1 week of the meeting. So with that, I'd like to call the meeting to order and do our roll call. I will start with board members and Peter Lisi, myself, on the call. Ben Barnes. Don't think Ben was planning on being here, but Ben, are you there? No. Martin Budd?
Here.
Thank you. Andrew Foster?
Present.
Thank you. Daryl Hill?
Good morning, and just a quick note, I do have a hard stop at 12:25 as I have a Finance Advisory Committee meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Daryl. Steve Kitowitz? I don't think Steve is here. Steve? Julie Savino.
Present.
Thank you. Let's go over to Chesla staff. Chief and Chesla staff. Denise Aguilera.
Present.
Thank you. Kevin Berry. Kevin? No Kevin. Deb Galley.
Here.
Thank you, Deb. Dan Junji.
Present.
Thank you, Dan. Josh Herlock.
I'm here.
Thank you. Carly Levin.
Present.
Thank you. Joanne Makowitz.
Present.
Thank you. Shannon Reynolds.
Here.
Natalia Rosio.
I'm here.
Thank you, Natalia. Kara Stewart.
Here.
Thank you. One more call for Kevin Berry. No? Okay. Consultants and advisors.
And Peter, you didn't call me, so I'm here.
Oh, that's okay. I'm sorry, Jeanette. I'm looking that's at my right. list. Oh my gosh. Okay. Sorry, Jeanette.
No problem.
Okay. Consultants and advisors. I'm going to name a company. And if you are here representing that organization, please identify yourself. Bank of America. Thank you. Dave Pitney.
Judith Blank. Oh, thank no, you. I'm Pullman Company. Sorry. No.
Anyone from Dave Pitney?
Peter, I don't know that Dave Pitney still has a role because we chose Pullman and Comley.
Yeah, I understand, Marty, but I'm... Chesla supplies me with a roll call of folks who might be on the call, and they're listed.
So, well, Jeanette, I'm suggesting you strike that from Peter's list.
Okay. Well, they could still be on the call because they had some early connection to the upcoming transaction, but we'll certainly going forward, we'll consider that.
Hilltop Securities.
Tim Webb is here.
All right. Anyone else? Okay. Okay, Judith Pullman and Conway.
Judith Blank.
All right. RBC Capital Markets. Did I hear someone from RBC? No. US Bank?
Peter Sandy may be on the line. Is that who you heard?
Yes, I am. That's who you heard.
Okay, and again, your name?
Sandra Dawson.
Okay, thank you. US Bank. All right, and the Chesla Advisory Committee. Anyone? Okay, I believe the roll call is completed for today. First item of business are our minutes from May 11th. I hope people have taken a look at them and reviewed them. Is there a motion to accept the minutes from May 11th, 2021?
Marty Budd, so moved.
Is there a second?
Julie Savino, so moved.
Thank you, Julie. Are there any corrections or edits? Any clarifications, changes on the minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor of accepting the minutes as proposed, please say aye.
Aye.
Is anyone opposed? Any abstentions?
I'm abstaining because I was not present, Andrew Foster.
Thank you, Andrew. One abstention. Okay, our advisory committee appointment, Jeanette, you wanna walk us through Wilson Luna?
Yes, so you have in your board packets, the bio for Wilson Luna, who is being proposed for a membership on the advisory committee. Wilson has extensive experience with working at the college level and also serving in a variety of responsibilities. And we think he will be a very valued member of the advisory committee. And we were actually hoping he could be a board member, but because of our limitations on the numbers of each party that we can have in board membership, we instead are offered to Wilson a position on the advisory committee. So I think he'll be, make a lot of contributions.
I move we add Wilson to the advisory committee. Marty Budd.
Is there a second?
Julie Savino, second.
Thank you. Any discussion, comments, questions? I'll just say very quickly, when I talked to Wilson about serving, he is very excited, he's honored, he's flattered, and he seems incredibly knowledgeable about the student aid, student loan business. So I think he could be a wonderful addition to the advisory committee. Any other comments, questions? All those in favor of the motion for the appointment of Wilson Luna, the advisory committee, please say aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Thank you very much, the motion carries. Tim, would you like to walk us through the sales report, please?
Sure. This is Tim Webb, Senior Vice President with Hilltop Securities. We've been working as your financial advisor for a little while now. I've provided some information in the board packet, including a letter outlining the sale. And then in the PowerPoint, there's just a little bit of a comparison between what we provided pre-sale at the May 11th board meeting versus the results that we have for this board meeting. So again, these bonds were issued out of the 2019 trust indenture. If you recall, a decision was made to continue to issue everything out of the 19 indenture as opposed to going back to the older 2090 indenture. The reason being anything that goes into the 90 indenture effectively has to stay in the 90 indenture. There's not a mechanism by which we could remove excess equity. So you effectively have to wait until all the bonds are paid off in the 1990 issue to pull out any equity. With that in mind, we've done the last few deals out of the 2019 indenture. It's been updated so that in the future we could potentially pull cash out. So working with Josh and Jeanette, we took a look at what the anticipated loan volume would be for the 21-22 school year, as well as look at any unexpended proceeds from the 2019 indenture, and came up with an anticipated volume need of somewhere around $17 million. So this transaction was structured for $17,515,000. The authority contributed $1 million to the transaction with the thought of being able to eliminate the 3% reserve fee. The transaction was sold on the 25th of May. B of A Securities was the lead underwriter. We had a 2-hour order period and things went very, very well. You'll see in the letter that I provided that we had total oversubscription of almost 3-1. There was only one maturity really that was just one time sold, but everything else had multiple oversale. B of A was able to restructure the deal and knock a few basis points out of the maturities of 25 through 30, and then also in the term bond. So the structure is serial bonds 23 through 30. Those are non-callable bonds, and a term bond out in 2037 that functions as a super sinker. It absorbs the cash flow off of the loans to pay down early. On the whole, the transaction sold very, very well. I believe this is the lowest cost of funds that Chesla has been able to obtain since we've been functioning as your financial advisor. The TIC came in slightly over 2%, 2.09%. This allows us, with the elimination of the guarantee fee and the $1 million contribution, to have about $18.5 million available for loanable proceeds for the 21-22 year, and for a loan rate of a 4.59%. I believe this is, again, the lowest rate that you've had. So looking at the PowerPoint that's on the screen, this was May 11th. It shows that we had a 4.85 loan rate last year, and we were going up against a plus rate of a 5.30%, giving you roughly a spread of 45 basis points between your plus rate and the rate you're providing on the Chesla loans. If you could move forward one slide. So now you've got a 4.59. The plus rate was set at a 6.28. So it now gives you a significant spread between your loan that you're offering versus the plus at a 1.69. Now, I understand that you don't just compete against the plus. This is just the benchmark that we use to see how the loans are in comparison to what is out there on the plus side. Next slide, please. So this was the projected sources and uses. You can see that we had an acquisition fund on the uses of roughly $18 million. When the bonds were priced, we were pricing $17,515. Interest rates were stronger, allowing for a higher premium. If you could go to the next slide, please. So we went from about $1.9 million in premiums to $2.3 million in premiums. We adjusted the SCARF slightly to $1.919 million to meet the requirements per the SCARF. And this gives us about $18.5 million in proceeds. Next slide, please. This was in your board packet. This just shows you how the bonds priced. Chesla was pricing on the 25th. The usual suspects priced a little bit earlier than you this year, including Vermont, Maine, Rhode Island, and New Jersey. When comparing the other transactions, you can see that Chesla priced very, very strongly and gives you the opportunity to offer that 4.59 rate. Next slide, please. This slide was one that I think may have been instigated by Mr. Budd. We wanted to take a look at what the residual was over the cash flow.
Join the meeting.
And if you look over to the right side of the page, you'll see the management cash flows that we ran prior to the transaction showed a future value residual of approximately $9.9 million. In the next slide. So once we priced the bonds, we saw more attractive rates. You'll see that the residual value increased to about $10.4 million. So we saw about a $500,000 increase in residual, even though we dropped the loan rates considerably from a 4.85 to a 4.59. So on the whole, the transaction priced very, very well. We're very pleased with it. I'm very pleased with it, and hopefully the authority will be as well, and that 4.59 rate can be very attractive for your borrowers. From Hilltop's perspective, just want to say thank you again for allowing us to participate with Chesla. We enjoy this relationship and hope to continue as your FA moving on into the future. Thank you.
Tim, thank you very much. It sounds like a very successful sale and the loan rate is terrific. So thank you very much for that presentation and your work on our behalf. Any questions for Tim on presentation on the sale?
This is Julie. I have no questions, but I just want to compliment everybody again. This is wonderful, and this will be wonderful for our students and their families.
Yeah.
So thank you very much.
And this is Daryl. It is wonderful for our students and a great presentation. As you were going through your slides, the one that showed, I think you referred to them as the usual suspects that issued around the same time. My question is there anything that we can infer from the other states shown, particularly those that are smaller than Connecticut? I think Rhode Island and Maine were included. That have larger issuances than we do, particularly with regard to the size of their state, the size of the population they're serving.
I guess what you can say with regard to Rhode Island is that Rhode Island has been a very active participant in this space for quite a long time. Prior to their involvement on the private loan side, they were a pretty substantial FFELP participant, the Federal Family Education Loan provider. And they developed quite a war chest as a result of those FFELP transactions. And they have one single trust. And I'm not the FA to that state issuer. But Joe, it does work with them as an underwriter, but they issue out of one trust. They have a very significant fund balance associated with that trust, and they're able to offer very attractive rates by effectively buying down those rates as a result of the additional over-collateralization in their trusts. I think it's a little bit, you have to be careful as to the assumption that they're smaller states and they may have a larger volume. Some of these could be refundings in the transaction. And it's also a function of just their volume and whether or not they have significant competition in the state and whether they're kind of the only game in town. The big gorilla in this is New Jersey. New Jersey has very large volumes, approaching $150 to $175 million per year. Rhode Island, perhaps Joe can provide a little bit of additional color on Rhode Island.
Hey everyone, it's Joe Santor, and very good question, Mr. Hill. We actually have been working with Rhode Island since 99, and we led this last transaction for them. We also led the main transaction this year, as well as in prior recent years. So, and I have led the New Jersey transaction and worked with Tim on that in the past. So, echo what Tim said on RISLA, Rhode Island. I think that participating in the FFELP program in the past did give them some extra resources to really, and they do have one of the oldest private student loan programs. So they have been very active. They also were probably one of the first state-based entities to create a refi product. So that is part of the issuance here. And that's actually their taxable side of their transaction was on the funding their refi program. We actually did create another trust for RISLA a few years ago, and that's what they issued out of. But they when we did that a few years ago, they used equity and seeded that really to jumpstart their program in that trust. The main issue did contain about $6 million of a refunding bonds. I'd say they're about maybe a $10 million a year issuer, they haven't come to market every year. So this was they didn't come to market last year at all. So most entities like Chesla will come to market once a year. We think it makes a lot of sense from a hedging perspective and to match up with the plus rate. But based on Maine's relatively low volume, it works out for them to just come, kind of come every other year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, Daryl, I would just add from the university's perspective, particularly where New Jersey is concerned, Rhode Island, Vermont, the students who actually come to our institutions will want to use their own state loan programs. They are strongly promoted within those states, and many families will do that. New Jersey in particular has been a long time, I would have to say, our New Jersey families will choose the New Jersey class loan over Chesla loan, you know, 9 out of 10 times. So, I mean, that makes a difference too.
Thank you.
And I'd just like to say thank you to Bank of America and Hilltop for all of their assistance with the transaction, and we're very, very happy with the results.
Yeah, no, it's a wonderful end result. Thank you both.
Well, thank Anything you else? All for the opportunity.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Tim. All right, moving on. Josh, would you and or Natalia like to walk us through the recommendation and scholarship memo, please?
Sure. Thank you, Peter. So I will get us started on page 64 of the board package. So at the January board meeting, the Chesil board approved an allocation of $470,000 in scholarships for students pursuing an undergraduate degree. As of June 14th, the Chesil scholarship account had about $91,000 in unused proceeds from schools and earned interest from prior years. So we are seeking board approval to award 188 scholarships totaling $543,000. So the rest of this memo, we will talk about the process and some takeaways moving forward. And we plan to notify the recipients in July. So I'll turn it over to Natalia here to kind of discuss the application process for the year.
Let me say, I would like to move.
This
is Marty, but I'd like to move approval of the request here for total funding of 543 and the 188 scholarships.
Yep. Thank you, Marty. I wanted to get that done before we moved on. So thank you for the motion. Is there a second? I'll second it. So there's a motion, there's a second. Is there any discussion, questions for Josh, Jeanette, Natalia? Any questions with regard to the motion to increase the scholarship amount to 543 for 188 scholarships?
Well, Josh, questions? Just a question. So between the 470 and the 91,000, so there's like a $18,000 difference between the 543. So we're still leaving some funds in the current bucket.
Yeah, that's correct. With the thought being, you know, there's always students in need of scholarships in future years. And based on where the grading came out amongst our scholarship committee, the cutoff was, I think, like a 87 or 88% score. So it was a nice cutoff at the 543. But yeah, as you mentioned, we'll have a little bit extra to award next year.
Okay.
Thank you, Josh. Any other questions, comments, discussion? All those in favor of the motion for total scholarship amount being $543,000 to award 188 scholarships, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Thank you very much. Natalia.
Hi. So this year we had 261 qualified applications. Of those 261, we ended up choosing 188 recipients, which is pretty similar to the last 2 years, with total funding being $543,000. The program structure was very similar to last year, we offered it directly on our website. It was directly to students instead of going through the schools. It was made online on our website on March 1st, and we contacted all high school counselors, all financial aid directors at the universities, as well as the State Department of Education. And Shannon put it all over our social media as well. Applications and their documents were submitted until May 1st using Fondant. If you could go down, Deb. They had to submit a letter of recommendation as well as their transcript and their SAR report, the first two pages, to prove that they had the EFC under 6,000. So if they had all of those and the application was complete, then we moved it on into the CHESLA Scholarship Committee, which consists of Jeanette, Josh, Shannon, and I. And we took about a month to go through these and grade them using our own evaluations. And the eligibility is listed on that page for you. And at the end, we're going to have that $543,000 given out to students, $3,000 for a full-time student and $1,500 for a part-time student. Like Josh said, we plan to let the students know fairly soon, probably in the next few weeks. And then disbursements is once verification of enrollment happens, which is closer to the middle of September.
I have a question. This is Marty Budd. Why are there so many more women than men who apply? Are we not reaching out to the male population? Or do you have any idea why that is?
I feel like I am targeted with this question every year. I'm not sure, to be honest. I think girls just kind of want to get it done with and look for opportunities. But I mean, we award both, so I don't know why. I don't have a good answer for you, Marty.
Yeah, but going off of that, Marty, it's been the same trend over the past 3 years. I don't really have an explanation for it, but that's just kind of how it's been.
I would suggest you at least check with the financial aid officers in a couple of schools where a number of these scholarships go and see whether the financial aid offices there have some advice for us as to how to better reach the male population or why the female students are so much more applicants.
Okay.
Julie, this is Peter. I mean, you're kind of on the front lines here. Would you have any opinion on that, on the question?
Yeah, Marty. We send out to anybody who meets the criteria, EFC contributions. It doesn't matter male or female. So we certainly don't discriminate by that. So everybody gets the notice if they meet the criteria. Just, you know, males just typically do not apply for a lot of the outside scholarships. They just typically don't. You know, we see that too in the outside scholarships that come into us. A lot of them is women that are bringing in the scholarships from the outside. You know, unless the males have some mothers who are aggressive in completing their applications, we don't necessarily always see an increase on the male side of things. I don't know. Human nature, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
So then moving on regarding the scholarship data, which Marty touched on a bit here, exhibits A and B include the breakout of all qualified applications. Exhibits C and D include the breakout for just the recipients. The applicants are representing 89 towns and will be attending 24 of the state's 34 public or nonprofit universities. The applicant pool was also racially diverse, although, as Marty mentioned, many were, you know, the majority were female. And in terms of the recipients, 80 towns are represented in 20 institutions with a similar racial and gender distribution to the applications we received. Moving on to page 66, we just have some takeaways. We believe that this third year of the CHESL administered program, with applicants applying directly to us, built on the success of prior years, found it continues to be a great secure platform for application submission, and also a great platform for review for the scholarship committee. I think I mentioned this every year, the scholarship committee currently consists of only CHESL staff. So we always welcome anyone that would like to join the committee, review applications, have a say in who we reward, and also to get to know the applicants a little bit better. Just a last reminder, the scholarship application for the certificate programs opens on July 1st. At the January meeting, the board approved an allocation of $30,000 for this program. As always, it's a first come, first serve basis. And any applicant that meets the criteria will receive a certificate program scholarship until the funds run out. The awards will be $1,250 for the certificate scholarships. And also as a last reminder, I believe it was the January meeting as well, we removed the EFC component for the certificate scholarships because many of those certificate programs are non-credit, meaning they're not Title IV eligible, and those students would typically not be filling out a FAFSA, which made it a barrier
to
scholarship submissions. So that's it for the scholarship program. Are there any questions on that? If not, I have another update before we move on.
Any questions on that for Josh? Okay, Josh, you had one other item?
Yes, I do. It's an update I did not think I would ever have to make or never envisioned myself making. But in short, CHESL is losing Natalia in September. She will be moving to North Carolina for a new adventure. I just wanted to give a little bit background of Natalia. She started in 2017 as a student intern. I'd say after her first week, our deputy director went out on medical leave. And it was just Natalia and myself. And I distinctly remember her saying, Josh, we got this. So I was like, wait, aren't you just an intern? That's who Natalia is. She has that can-do attitude. And, she's managed our scholarship program over the years, dealing with the applicants in schools, handled that entirely independently. She's helped me with rehabbing loans that are significantly past due and helping those loans avoid collections. And she's also helped me, kind of my go-to person for audits and gathering information. So I've watched Natalia grow from a student intern to an outstanding CHESL employee while she got her bachelor's degree and master's degree along the way. So this is it's definitely bittersweet for me. I'm happy for Natalia's upcoming marriage in September and for her new adventure. But this is definitely a huge loss to CHESL, and I know Shannon and I will miss her. So with that said, I don't know if Natalia would like to say anything about her time at CHESL here.
Hi, everyone. Whew. Okay. So I love CHESL. I love it so much. And I've been so devoted. Okay. This is hard.
Take your time.
This is hard. I've been so passionate about CHESL, and I love it so much. And it's been such an honor to work with this board and with Josh and Shannon. And I've just truly enjoyed my position. And this isn't my decision. I tried really hard to stay on, and I tried really hard to make this work, but Chifa decided that it was not an option. And Shannon, Josh, and I are very disappointed. But the cards were not in our favor, unfortunately. With that being said, I've really, 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 really appreciated the last 4 years in this team and working with the board, and I did not expect to cry, but here we are. So I'm sorry for this, but I will really miss working with this board and with Josh and Shannon especially. And thank you for letting me learn with you and letting me kind of grow up and learn with everyone here. So thank you, and I'm sorry, and I'm turning my camera off.
Oh, Natalia, this is Julie. I just want to thank you from the school side of things. We've all worked with you together, and quite honestly, from the school side of things, you have been an absolute joy and a pleasure to work with. You've been thorough, you've been personable. We never have skipped a beat. So on behalf of all the colleges and universities and all the students that you've helped, thank you so very much. And I'm sure your next adventure will be as exciting. We will miss you, but want to wish you well. So thank you very much.
I appreciate it.
I agree, Julie. Thank you so much. And Natalia, really thank you very much for all that you've done, not just for CHESLA, but for the students who are the ultimate beneficiaries of your work. You've done great things the past 4 years, and we certainly wish you the best going forward. And don't ever apologize for having some tears. It only shows how much you care. So thank you very much for your work.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Yes, thank you, Natalia, and certainly appreciate all of your valued contributions to CHESLA over the years. Much appreciated.
Okay. Josh, I can't imagine you have anything else to top that. So are we ready to move on?
Yeah, I was trying not to shed some tears myself. So we're good to go.
All right, thank you.
Peter, this is Marty Budd.
Yes.
Maybe this is for Jeanette. Are we going to try to get another student intern, or are we going to hire somebody to try and replace Natalia?
So we are certainly working on making sure we are fully staffed within CHESLA. So that process is underway, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, in the interest of having Daryl be able to hear the discussion regarding the review and the approval of the operating budget, I'd like to move agenda item 8, the review and approval of the operating budget, to our next agenda item, and then have it flow from there. It is an agenda item that I think is important for as many people to be on the line as possible. So with that, let's move to the operating budget. And let's see, is Carly gonna walk us through that? Or Jeanette, will you start?
Yeah, actually, I'll start. It'll be a combination of me, Carly, and Josh.
Okay.
So hopefully everyone had the chance to read the cover memo that went along with the proposed fiscal 22 budget. And the budget provides for excess revenue from operations of about $106,000. That is a 38% decrease from fiscal 21 budgeted levels, but actually much of that decline results from an 85% decrease in investment income. So that has had a significant impact, and it's a reflection of the current interest rate environment. There is a slight decline, a 1% decline in administrative fee revenue, which we will get into, and a 4.6% increase in operating expenses. So with regard to the fee revenue, I'd like to turn that discussion over to, I believe Carly's going to start, and then Josh will chime in.
Thank you, Jeanette. So we'll go over revenues first. We're estimating that Chesil's total revenues for fiscal 2022 will be approximately $946,000. This represents a 2.9% decrease from the budgeted fiscal year of 2021. And investment income was reduced by $17,000, representing 61% of that decrease, which reflects the current interest rate environment, which Jeanette mentioned a moment ago. The in-school loan program is budgeted to generate approximately $890,000 in administrative fee for fiscal 2022, a 0.4% decrease from budgeted 2021. Year-to-date loan volume through March 31, 2021 is approximately $6.1 million, or 26% behind third quarter of fiscal 2020. This decline was expected as a result of the pandemic and is consistent with the 28% downsizing for the 2020 bond issuance. Fee revenue in fiscal 2021 was affected by final payoffs of many older loans with higher fees and by refinancing or early payoffs of other Chesil loans. While Chesil has been able to recapture some of those fees by providing refinancing of some existing Chesil loans, Chesil loans are also refinanced through other entities. The availability of COVID relief dollars may also have contributed to early loan payoffs. Budgeted in-school admin fee incorporates a two-year historical average for principal paydowns and are consistent with the cash flow assumptions for new loan disbursements associated with the 2021 B bonds. The fiscal 2022 budget assumes disbursement volume of $19.7 million, which is a conservative assumption, which shows improvement from the 2021 pandemic year, but not a complete rebound to the five-year average pre-COVID levels. The REFI CP program has been significantly impacted by the pandemic. Year-to-date REFI CP loan volume through March 31st, 2021 represents a $1 million or a 49.1% decline from fiscal 2020 levels. REFI CT disbursements in the fourth quarter have totaled about $100,000. The fiscal 2022 budget assumes disbursement volume of $2.5 million, resulting in fee revenue of approximately $53,000. The expectation is a rebound from the pandemic year, but not a return to the pre-COVID levels. Loans will be funded from approximately $700,000 in remaining Series 2019 A bonds proceeds and from funds available in Chesil's refi loan and revenue accounts, which were revenues that were derived outside of the trust. As far as investment income, we're assuming a 0.12% return. And Deb, if you can turn to page, actually 107, just because I wanted to put up a couple of charts for the board to see briefly. Thank you. So this top chart is just a comparison of the revenue analysis for budgeted 2021 and 2022. And the second chart on that page is just an admin fee rate comparison, which it's been stable for the last several years. Josh, if you just want to go over the loan origination assumptions, and then that would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Carly already mentioned. We're projecting a rebound from the down COVID year in both programs, but not to our five-year average level on the in-school side and not to our historical average on the refi side. So a little bit of a rebound, but not to pre-pandemic levels. We're projecting, we have about $3.8 million remaining in 2020 proceeds. So we're projecting to use that. And we're then projecting to fund the rest of the academic year through our 2021 issuance, which closed yesterday. And we're offering the, as Tim mentioned, great 4.59% rate, no origination fee. And, you know, based on that offering exceeding our expectations, you know, we're hopeful that the disbursements will go out sooner and result in higher revenues throughout the year.
I had a question, Peter. I don't know, it's Marty Budd.
Yep, go ahead, Marty.
I think Carly said there was $700,000 left over from the 19 issue, and you said there were $3.8 million from the 20 issue, or does the 3.8 include the 700?
No, so the 3.8 is the 20 issue that's in school proceeds. The 700,000 that Carly mentioned is from 2019, and that's the 2019A refi proceeds.
I see. Now, that means we have, first on the 3.8 million, we still putting that out at the old rate, or are we going to reduce the rate on that 3.8 million?
So anybody that applied before today would receive the old rate and the 3% origination fee. I'm awaiting on word from Campus Door when they've made the switch. Once that switch is made, anybody that applies from this point forward, even with the 2020 proceeds, would receive the new rate and the 0% fee.
So you really have around 22 million to put out, 3.8 million from old and 18 and change from the new. Do you think you can put that out over the next year?
I think with the 26 basis point drop and the origination fee, I think we're hopeful of that. But again, we're only assuming across this fiscal year, we're only assuming disbursements of 19.7 million for in-school, as Carly mentioned. So in most years, we always have $1 or $2 million remaining that kind of carry us and allow us to still intake applications while we're in the process of completing our new bond deal.
So the timing of next year's bond deal will really depend on how much of this money you can put out.
I mean, I think so. I mean, we always try to price around the plus. So yeah, I mean, like you said, it's about 22 million. We're expecting to get 20 out the door, but you know, those assumptions were also when we were expecting a 485 rate. So it's very possible that we go through disbursements quicker than expected.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Anytime.
Josh, this is Julie. What's our loan volume in the pipeline right now at the old rate for the 21-22 academic year?
I believe I had it somewhere. I believe at the old rate, we had committed like 800,000 in loans. So I think that 3.8 had been brought down to about 3 million available.
What would it take if we were to buy for the 21-22 academic year? I kind of find it somewhat unfair, you know, announcing it for somebody who actually prepared early. What would it mean to be able to buy down, or can we even buy down that rate, as Marty actually mentioned before? Can we do that with the new, according to the new rate?
I mean, I can't speak to that. I can just speak to how we've reflected it on our website. We made it clear to people that if you apply before we make our new offering, you know, your rate could be higher or lower than what the new offering is. You know, when we knew what the new rate was going to be, I've made it clear to people, hey, you should wait to apply for the new rate. And that's kind of how it's been You know, ever since I started with Chesla, it's a little bit of a guessing game from the families. I don't know what the process would be to buy down the rate. I don't know what that takes from the legal end of it and from a disclosure perspective. So I can't speak to that.
Yeah, and also, Julie, the cash flows for the current bond offering assumed this remaining amount, this $3 million some odd dollars, being dispersed at the new loan rate. But everything prior to that is assumed dispersed at the previous loan rate. So I think given the advance, you know, the heads up that people have been given about the upcoming change, I think we're in an okay place in terms okay. of moving forward as Josh described.
And Julie, with that said, I believe families would have the opportunity, if they had some time available, they would have the opportunity to decline their prior application that got approved. They could apply again at the new rate. We could transfer documents, approvals, et cetera, and then, you know, try to fast track that new application, but that would certainly be an option as well.
Hey, Josh, I just want to jump in here. I know that Daryl has a hard stop at 12:25, and we kind of moved the agenda around so we could hear this discussion. So I want to give him an opportunity. Daryl, is there anything, as you peruse the meeting materials with regard to the operating budget, is there any question you had you want to get out there now before you have to sign off, or are you...
No, and thank you for moving the agenda to allow me to hear the conversation. I have reviewed it. I think it's well developed. Of course, in budget season, there are those of us who get to hear the broken record with regard to merit increases. The treasurer on the principle of some state employees receiving merit increases or even including COLAs or and COLAs when other state employees aren't receiving them opposes that. Thinks there should be fairness even for quasi entities. And based on the inclusion of merit increases, the treasurer would be opposed to the operating budget recommendation, but solely on that issue. I think staff has done a very nice job of not only developing the recommended budget or proposed budget, but also in the presentation of the metrics around where and why the various components are going to the levels that they are, be it up or down or staying the same. But again, with the inclusion of merit increases shown on page 4 under compensation, the treasurer would be is opposed to the operating budget.
Understood. Okay, thank you, Daryl. Josh, Jeanette, anything else you want to finish up with the operating budget review?
Having covered the revenues, we were going to touch on the expenses, and as you know, as Daryl has referenced, compensation obviously is a big part, if really the biggest part of the expense budget. So what we are proposing with regard to compensation is a total Chesla budget of $239,000 approximately, and that includes merit increases and a salary adjustment component, and as well as some overlaps to accommodate for training of a new individual, hopefully while Natalia is still on staff. So that's what's been included in the budget. And also with regard to the salary and the approach to merit increases, Chesla and CHIFA follow the same approach. There are salary administration guidelines that were developed and adopted a couple of years ago in conjunction with an HR consultant review. And the whole premise of adopting these salary grades and ranges for all CHIFA and Chesla positions, the goal was to ensure internal equity, meaning including equity between CHIPA and CHESLA staff for those who have similar responsibilities, and also minimizing longevity-driven salary growth, which is something that occurred historically where people had really had the same responsibilities, but their salary kept growing and growing because they'd been on staff for decades. So that's the premise of it. And that's, so as I mentioned, it's about a $239,000 compensation budget for fiscal 22 as outlined in the memo. And the benefits track off of the CHESLA benefit package. So there really is nothing different in the approach there. I don't know if there are any questions with regard to compensation and benefits. Otherwise, you know, we could hit some of the highlights of the other expenses. But are there any questions with regard to compensation and benefits?
Well, the real question is whether we're going to hold a vote before Daryl has to leave and whether the treasurer will get a chance to either vote against or abstain. I guess that's up to our chair. It's Marty.
Right.
I can make it easy for you and just drop off, but the record I think would just reflect that I wasn't here for the votes going forward.
No, to the extent I've heard your comments at the CHIPA meeting. I respect it and I understand it. I don't, but are there, Jeanette, do you want to finish up quickly on the budget side so Daryl can be present for the vote? And if I could Deb, could you please put the memo back up on the screen so we can see it as Jeanette or Josh is talking? Thank you.
Yeah, maybe you can just go to that summary page, Jeff. I mean, Deb, I think with regard to the other expenses, I think the most noteworthy thing is the CHIPA support services, which we're just doing it on. It's really an hourly calculation based on the benefit and salary expense of CHIPA staff as they do CHESLA work. And Carly, was there anything else that you wanted to highlight with regard to general and administrative expenses? Josh, do you want to comment on marketing?
Yeah, I'll just mention marketing quick. We're proposing an increase in the marketing line by $15,000 to $225,000. Part of the reason for that is we're continually adding programs. We have the in-school refi, CT dollars and cents in the scholarship program, and now we're marketing the employer repayment program. And I also had some statistics in the memo where you can see that our marketing is working. You can see that in Shannon's marketing updates at each meeting, that the majority of our applicants come through marketing avenues.
Okay. All right. Jeanette, anything else you want to cover on the operating budget prior to a motion? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that covers it.
Okay. So before we have, if there's a discussion, before we have that, is there a motion to accept the CHESLA fiscal 22 operating budget as proposed? Is there a motion?
This is Andrew, so move.
Andrew moved it. Is there a second?
Julie Savino, I'll second.
All right, Julie seconded it. So there's a motion to motion and a second to accept the CHESLA fiscal 22 operating budget as presented. We've heard a presentation. Are there further questions or comments? Anything that anyone would like to be discussed? Questions or comments on the operating budget? All right. Hearing none, all those in favor of accepting the operating budget as proposed in the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Is there anyone opposed?
Daryl Hill of no opposed, and as previously stated and read in the record on the single inclusion of merit increases.
Understood. And are there any abstentions? Okay, motion passes.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Daryl. Okay. So the operating budget has been approved. So now we can go back up to agenda item six. Carly, quarterly financials.
Yes, thank you. On page 74 of the board packet, I'll start there. Deb, if you could put that up for me, please. Okay, thank you. Under investments, you'll notice that the board designated account is less than $1 million. In March, the trustee had inadvertently transferred the earned interest from the unrestricted account to the board designated account. When I was doing the April activity, I noticed what had occurred. So I contacted the trustee and that was corrected in April. So normally what happens is the earned interest is transferred from the board designated account to the unrestricted account each month.
Okay.
Carly, yes. This is Marty, but on page 73, which I think was the introduction, it shows the parity ratios in the 2019 resolution and the 1990 resolution. But I assume that the parity ratio in the 2019 resolution does not include the issuance this year. Is that correct?
It does not include the 2021 bonds, no.
Right. Okay, good. I just wanted to be sure on that because I think that would improve the parity ratio. But
all right.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. On page 75 of your board packet, we'll take a look at the agency's income statement. So for the 9 months ending March 31st, 2021, revenues over expenses before non-operating income and expenses were $147,948, and revenues over expenses after non-operating income and expenses were $150,753. Total year-to-date revenues were $1,611 over budget, and total year-to-date expenses were $22,163 under budget.
Okay.
Let's see, page 80 of your packet, and we'll take a look at the bond funds. The total change in net position for the 1990 resolution is a decrease of $81,545. The decrease is due to a decrease in the market value for the T-note in the 2020 C SCARF investment. When I took a look in both April and May, the market value for that T-note was higher than the cost, so that had gone up. And the total change in that position for the 2019 resolution is an increase of $151,274. Any questions regarding the bond funds?
No.
All right, page 83, I'll just mention quickly about the other funds. So regarding the scholarship fund, the total change in that position for this quarter was an increase of $31. And total change in that position for the non-bond refi program was a decrease of $27,901. And that was due to a borrower passing away and Chifa forgave their loan. The last item that I just wanted to go over quickly are the student write-offs from CCA, our collection agency. The amount of student in-school student loans to be written off this fiscal year is approximately $634,000, which is higher than last year's write-offs of $499,000. The refi student write-off amount is $160,000. And recoveries for this year through March 31st were $77,000, which is lower than last year's recoveries of $117,000. Any questions?
Questions? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carly. Josh, I guess maybe a question for you. The write-offs on a percentage basis were significantly higher. Any thoughts on what might be behind that or driving that?
So I would just say, you know, we only write off loans that are already at the collection company, and we write off loans when no payment has been made to the collection company within the past year.
Right.
So I think the pandemic would have a lot to do with that.
Okay. I mean, I don't recall the exact numbers that Carly just mentioned, but I think it went from roughly 400 to 600, which is, you know, almost a 50% increase. I just wondered if you had any thoughts.
Yeah, I think it's primarily due to the pandemic.
It actually went from 500 to, it was about 500, I believe, it was 499.
You know. Oh, okay. All right.
But nonetheless, just remember that the writing off is more of an accounting procedure, you know, where we're still willing to accept payments should right. those individuals then decide they want to pay their loan.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Any other questions for Carly? Financials? Okay. Thank you, Carly.
Thank you.
All right. Jeanette, strategic plan review?
So I wanted to give a brief update of the strategic plan for the next three-year period being fiscal 22 through fiscal 24. And this plan was approved by the chief of board last week. But as you know, this was the plan resulted from a joint process that was a CHIFA and CHESLA process, not only at the board level, but also at the staff level. And we did maintain the five strategic pillars that already exist under our current strategic plan, and I think that's indicative of their sort of, you know, standing the test of time, so to speak. So those pillars being collaboration, economic and workforce development for the public good, technology, innovation, and public engagement and accountability. So based on the feedback from both staff and boards, the things that we're proposing continue to fit within those pillars. With regard to the vision and mission statements for CHIFA and CHESLA, they, for the most part, are staying the same with CHESLA's, which is shown on, if you want to go to page, your slide five, Deb. There is a tweak that we need to make that Marty brought to my attention with regard to the CHESLA vision statement, and it's towards the end there where we say and enhance economic development through innovative post-secondary education programs. It's really to by supporting innovative post-secondary education program, since we're not actually the ones offering the programs. But otherwise, the main sort of edit that was made to the CHESLA vision and mission statements from the past plan is that we referenced post-secondary education to make it a little broader than just specifying higher education. So what I wanted to do is just go over the initiatives that are associated with the upcoming three-year period. And we tried to incorporate feedback, as I said, from staff as well as board members. And so, in fact, you know, sort of follow-ups or, you know, continuations of things that were started in the current plan period. So the first initiative is collaborating with other agencies, the state and other stakeholders to try to address critical state issues. So with regard to CHESLA, clearly a critical state issue and a high profile agenda item for the governor's office is workforce development. And so, So item number two there, developing targeted student loan refinance or other education
join the meeting
products. So that will continue to be a focus going forward for CHESLA. We're going to speak to the Alliance District Teacher Loan Subsidy Program in the Executive Director's Report when we have a legislative update, as well as the certificate program financing. And then the other thing we are exploring is, and Josh in particular is exploring this concept of using loan rate discounts to encourage financial literacy. So the plan, what we're calling for, what we're hoping to achieve is two new programs by the end of the plan period. Going to the next page, just continuing on, this again is sort of a follow through or follows from the existing strategic plan about, of course, increasing and continuing the relationships with some of these key external entities that we work with. And on the Cheswell side, it's primarily CAPFA and the Education Finance Council. If you want to continue down, Deb, to slide 17. Initiative three, and this is just sort of piggybacks on the prior initiative, which specifically relates to CHIFA, but it's to broaden, assess, and communicate Cheswell's impact on post-secondary education. And so one of the undone things from the current period, we described it as a Cheswell economic impact study. We did not achieve that in the three-year plan that's about to end. We are making it an initiative for this upcoming period, and the thought is to focus on workforce impact. And then the Alliance District Teacher Loan Rate Subsidy, we'll talk about shortly. And then also working with the Governor's Workforce Council and the Office of Workforce Strategy to provide some of these additional financing opportunities. And then continuing to the next page is also trying to increase the awareness and use of CT dollars and cents, the financial literacy portal. And that will tie back to the prior initiative about trying to combine it with some loan rate incentives.
Janet, this is Marty, but I was puzzling over initiative one that you suggested that Josh was looking into giving a discount for financial literacy. Could you explain what that is? It seems quite different. Does somebody take a test in financial literacy, then they get a loan discount, or what are you thinking about?
Right. So it's a concept at this point, but Josh, yeah, why don't you explain it?
Yeah, I'll just briefly mention it. So Marty, my idea was, you know, we have the financial literacy portal. We try to drive traffic to it. But there's no real incentive for people to necessarily go to the portal. So my idea is, and if you recall, the portal is primarily powered by a leading financial literacy provider, iGrad. So my idea is iGrad has courses, whether that be, you know, student loan repayment, whether that be budgeting, whether that be, you know, taking out a credit card. My preliminary idea is incorporating those iGrad courses, and based off of a successful completion of those courses, maybe we would offer a, you know, could be a 25 basis point reduction on an in-school loan. Again, it's very preliminary. The only reason I thought of it is on the refi side, we do have a 25 basis point reduction for auto pay. So I thought this was an innovative way to potentially offer a reduction or incentive on the in-school program.
Good. I take it once you develop something like this, you'll come to the board for approval.
Correct.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. Sorry to go backwards.
Yeah, no problem. Deb, if you want to go to slide 19. So this, in terms of continuing the use of technology, we are expecting to have approaches that integrate live, in-person, and virtual components, and that would be, you know, at the staffing level as well as the board and client level. So that's, and this again is something that's a, you know, for CHIPA and CHESLA combined, and then the other initiatives as outlined there, which are, you know, a little bit IT driven. Initiative five, one of the things here in terms of organizational identity and culture, we are, we did put specific reference to promoting a culture of diversity, equity, and inclusion. So that will be an area of focus. And then also, you know, we did try to incorporate feedback that came from the board strategic planning session throughout, but I just want to touch on one specific thing. Item number four, there was a request of board members about additional education programming. So we are planning to do some educational sessions for the CHESLA board over the annually. So that is in the strategic plan. And then just moving to the next page, sustainable organization. You know, some of this again is gonna touch both CHIPA and CHESLA with regard to things like business continuity, et cetera. But item number three there, explore options for CHIPA and CHESLA to develop sources of capital. So for CHESLA, you know, the source that we currently have is CSLF. And so exploring innovative ways to leverage those dollars will also be part of our strategic plan. So those are the six initiatives. The focus that with this go round was to have a single set of initiatives. I don't know if you recall in the last strategic plan, we took an approach where for every pillar we had different, you know, individual initiatives, but things kind of, there was a lot of overlap and kind of duplication. So the concept is all six of these initiatives, you know, ultimately go towards fit within the strategic pillars. So are there any questions or comments on the strategic plan? And
any questions? Any questions for Jeanette? Okay. Jeanette, do we need a motion to approve the strategic plan, or was that just information?
Yeah, I think I'm just noticing here there's not an asterisk there, but I do think we should have a motion to approve. Yeah.
Okay.
So moved, Marty Budd.
Thank you, Marty. Is there a second?
Andrew Foster. Hi.
Andrew Foster, second. Any questions or comments on the discussion of the strategic plan as proposed? Anything? All those in favor of adopting strategic plan as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Motion carries.
Peter, I would like to say this is a very aggressive thing that you've put forth, Jeanette. I mean, you have a lot of things you're considering and new programs you're considering, and it'll be interesting for us to review to see whether over the next couple of years, how many of these things actually get done. But I think it's a great plan, but it seems to me to be quite aggressive for and a lot of work.
Well, I will say it is a bit aspirational. I agree with that. We will give annual updates so the board can have a sense of the progress. But yeah, so hopefully we will be able to achieve many things. You know, whether or not everything will be achieved, you know, remains to be seen, certainly.
Thank you.
Any other comments, questions? Okay, now I would entertain a motion to move into executive session for purposes of discussion of the executive director's performance review for fiscal 21. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Julie. Is there a second? Is there a second? Thank you, Andrew. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? And I would just state for the record that coming out of executive session, no votes were taken in executive session. So moving on, Jeanette, executive director's report. The authority update.
Yes, and I'm gonna try to keep it brief just in the interest of time here.
Yep, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. I am going to ask Dan Gingy, who's our legislative liaison, to give an update with regard to the teacher loan rate subsidy proposal. But a couple of things I wanted to mention also related to the legislative session. The governor had included some language that, you know, was a proposal from his office, and that is for the chief workforce officer, who is the person who heads up the Office of Workforce Strategy, which was an office created as part of the governor's workforce initiative. That person is Kelly Marie Valieres. And so as a result of this bill passing, she will become a new ex officio board member of CHESLA as of July 1st. So the CHESLA board will be expanded from a 9-person board to a 10-person board with the addition of Kelly Marie. So her first board meeting would be in September. And I think I think she'll bring some value to the board, and it emphasizes the governor's office recognition of the role that CHESLA can play within workforce development.
CHESLA was mentioned in the legislation as one of the boards she will be on?
Yes.
And I think that you ought to have an onboarding process here. Maybe three lunches with you is enough, but I think as a person who has a very important position and may not really know anything about CHESLA, what our programs are, how we are trying to help the workforce, I think a real thorough onboarding process is very important.
Yes, that is the plan, that she will have a thorough and complete orientation that can occur in advance of her attendance at the September meeting. So we will be reaching out to make sure we can get that in place. And then also as a result of a governor's office proposal specific to CHESLA, and this is something that was mentioned at a prior board meeting about broadening CHESLA's authority so that we can make loans to what is termed high value certificate programs. So those would not be accredited 4-year nonprofits necessarily, but certificate programs that go through a vetting process and are loan worthy, let's put it that way. So that has also passed as part of this legislative session. There is lead time on that. There is the expectation is it would not occur during fiscal 22. It's something that is passed, but there are other aspects that will need to be implemented to really make it operational. So it's some recognition, but without the pressure of having to get it done this fiscal year.
Does that include for-profit organizations who give certificates, or are we only talking?
Probably would.
It would include for-profit. So, for example, you know, a coding boot camp would most likely qualify as a high-value certificate. Many coding boot camps can be for profit. So there will be a vetting process to make sure that, you know, the questionable ones are those that are not going to ultimately lead to jobs that can support loan repayment are not part of this program. But that is the concept, yes.
Who would you do that and the staff would do that? I mean, I'm a big guy in favor of training electricians and welders. The average welder income is $150,000. That's the average. Electricians may be more. So that's some area that I've always been interested in getting people who would not go to traditional post-secondary education. This may be a very important program.
Yes, I think those would also qualify. Those types of manufacturing certificates would also qualify.
And is staff going to vet them, or is that some other portion, like the workforce development department?
The vetting will occur through the Office of Workforce Strategy, but we will be able to provide input.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And so, Dan Junji, do you want to speak about the teacher loan rate subsidy?
Yes, thanks, Jeanette. So I'm going to quickly touch base on House Bill 5610. We were able to work with the Banking Committee co-chair, Representative Jason Doucette, to have an amendment filed on this bill. Effectively, the bill contains the language necessary to implement the Alliance District Teacher Loan Subsidy Program. And we were also to get able to get the expanded definition of education assistance included in the bill as well. It was voted out of the House with strong bipartisan support. 148 members in the House voted to support the legislation, and it was voted out of the Senate with all 36 senators voting in the affirmative for passage. The bill is currently in the governor's office awaiting his signature. And one more item that I just wanted to touch on is we were also able to get the authorization for the necessary funding to implement the program included in the annual bond bill. The next step in that process would be getting the bonding on a bonding committee or a bonding commission agenda and having the commission approve the bonding. So we'll keep you apprised of developments on that front as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. I just want to recognize Dan's efforts with regard to getting that bill through the legislature. It's a pretty tough process with a lot of unpredictable events and outcomes, but I think it illustrates Dan's persistence that we were able to get this passed.
Okay. Jeanette, did you have anything else, or do you want to move on?
That is it with regard to my portion, yeah.
Okay, so portfolio update, Josh?
Thank you, Peter. Going to try to be quick. Page 121 of the board package, we have the loan disbursement data for the in-school program. The third quarter disbursed about $8.8 million. And through the third quarter, we are down 26% compared to fiscal 20. As a note, we had downsized the 2020 bond deal by 28%. So this is in line with what we had anticipated. Moving on to page 123, market segment data for the schools. Julie and Sacred Heart are on top, and then the usual suspects of UConn and Quinnipiac rounding out the top three. Page 124, 2020B in school comparison, disbursement comparison to cash flow assumptions. These cash flows were updated with the 2021 bond deal. And through May, we are about $681,000 ahead of the cash flows. So we're in good shape there. Page 125. Compares 2019A refi comparison to the cash flows. Again, updated with the 21 bond deal. And through May, about 170,000 ahead of those cash flows. So also in good shape as well. Page 126, refi loan disbursement data. We've only dispersed $1 million through the third quarter compared to fiscal year 20. This is about a 50% decline through the third quarter. As mentioned previously, the program has been hit hard by the pandemic and federal COVID benefits extending through September 2021. We continue to market the refinancing of private loans. Then I'm going to skip ahead a bit. Page 130, we have the servicing performance data for UAS. We had a couple of months where they did not meet expectations, but their performance has been corrected in February and March, which we are certainly happy about. And then on page 131, Campus Door in school performance. Campus Door met standards on the in-school side for both average speed of answer and the maximum call abandon rate. And then likewise on 132, Campus Door met standards for the third quarter for the refinance program. A lot of information fairly quickly. That's it for my portfolio update. Are there any questions? Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Josh. Shannon, I think you're going to review the social media marketing.
Yes, I'm going to make it short and sweet. Slide 134, please. So as we know, continuous effort from our marketing across the board is just to continue to build awareness around all of the CHESA programs. Obviously, the consistent conversation is COVID kind of has hit us in different ways, but overall, we've been consistent throughout the year for social media. Over 29,000 new users for the year with over 70,000 page views, consistently with most of the traffic coming from either direct to from the site or organic search where people are searching CHESLA. And then, you know, if you want to go into specifics of the referrals, a lot of them are our Facebook page, CT Dollars and Cents, and our scholarship was top three, obviously, for time of the year. And then again, majority of our social media comes from our Facebook page, which is our most popular of our social media platforms. There's nothing in regards to outreach, just because we're preparing to go into peak student loan season. So we'll pick that up and start planning for that in the fall. So you'll see that in a September or later meeting. That's all I got, unless you guys have any questions.
Any questions for Shannon? All right, thank you, Shannon.
Thank you.
So that brings us to the end of the proposed agenda. Is there anything, any item of business that anyone would like to put forward under other business for the good of the cause? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second? I'll second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions?